Today, we have the privilege of sitting down with Daniel, an accomplished clinical research associate. Try to stay seated while we dive into his career history, his current adventures, and listen to some shocking stories about mishaps, common mistakes, and just awful clinical research sites. I'm Anna.
I'm Alexandria.
And this is The Tea in STEM. Daniel is a CRA of over 10 years of experience, and he's developed an educational program for CRAs and even has a large dog training camp. Thank you for joining us, Daniel.
Hey, Anna. It's my pleasure to be here.
So let's start off with telling us a little bit about how you got started in clinical research and what drove you to your role as a clinical research associate.
Yeah, well, first off, I need to say that although I'm an American, I grew up in Germany, spent 32 years growing up there. And the decision to pursue a career path as CRA actually happened in Germany. I was an RN at the time, and my career path was kind of limited. The second child was on the way, so I was looking for something with more interesting career opportunity, and came across this mysterious job of a CRA, a clinical research associate, and clinical trials that they monitor, and had a little bit of an idea what that might be about. Sounded fascinating. I actually applied for a couple of jobs, and this was roughly 15 years ago. And at least in Germany at the time, it was easier to get into that role at the time. So they actually brought me in for interviews, and thank God I did not get a job as a CRA back then. Because I was an RN, but I lacked all the experience with clinical trials. What I got instead was a role within a mid-sized to large-sized CRO in their medical monitoring department.
And it was
kind of an administrative job there supporting the medical monitors. So it gave me a great opportunity over like 4.5 years to learn a lot about clinical trials themselves. Because being located in Germany, I was on a bunch of studies and was always assigned a quote, air quotes, team lead, because there was only one of me on each study, which made me the lead. So I got onto the lead calls.
Yeah.
And I was on a bunch of studies and could pick up a lot from data management, project management, medical monitoring, clinical monitoring, all their leads on the team calls that I was on. So it gave me a great opportunity to see what kind of problems they run into, how they solve them. And just learn a lot, and then internally moved on to the CRA role within that CRO at the time. And that's how I got into the CRA role. Was a CRA in Germany, Austria, Europe, Central Europe for a while, and always wanted to move back to my home country, the States, and did that about 7 years ago, and been a CRA here ever since, currently as a contract CRA.
Perfect. And then when did you start the CRA coach? And tell us a little bit about that and the future.
Yeah.
And what CRAs can expect from that.
One thing that my mind's just wired that way. I knew early on when I just got into clinical research, and one of my first mentor in this very first role doing administrative stuff in medical monitoring, she had been an auditor. She was very experienced and accomplished, and she told me, Daniel, just so you know, it's going to take you about 10 years in this field to understand how clinical trials work. So don't get too frustrated. Don't get the impression, oh my God, I'm stupid or whatever, because you just keep on learning and learning and learning. It takes about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And even in that early phase, I knew there's got to be kind of like a way to understand within a system how this all works and this everything ties into everything else. And you fast forward a couple of years later then when I moved into the CRA role, I also just came in with that mindset. I know there's got to be kind of like a one system how everything works as a CRA. And then years later, when I moved to the States, I had enough experience that I kind of cracked it. It's overwhelming in the beginning. Like every CRA early in their career, you get hit with these trainings from your company, 2 to 4 weeks or whatever the time span is of trainings. And they hit you with everything that you're supposed to do as a CRA, all your tasks. And then they expect you to hit the ground running. And nobody really explains to you how you have to set up your own work, your own processes, what tools you need in your daily job. Not talking about an EDC system or a CTMS system. They're going to train you on all that stuff.
Like your own brain map.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And
taking it back to nursing school.
Yeah. And after years of experience and switching employers and basically being able to restart my own processes every time I switched and improving on tools that I developed for myself, I then got to that point where I was like, yeah, because it's overwhelming in the beginning, but after a couple of years, it's basically always the same. And with that experience, you just see what are the underlying patterns. Like, there's always going to be an investigator brochure acknowledgement of receipt page. There's always going to be CRF completion guidelines and updates thereof. There's just so many things that basically you just then see the patterns. And my tools having just improved from employer to employment, we're at a point where I was like, yeah, actually, I think now I'm at a point where I can explain all this simply, have all the templates ready to go. And what then happened was a key personal experience was co-monitoring with two colleagues, and we were staying at the same hotel. After work, we hung out at the bar, basically, and they started getting into a conversation about antidepressants they'd tested. And that really brought it home for me to see that it's not just a frustrating experience in the first couple of years as a CRA figuring out what works, because you have some kind of tool, I'm going to have a spreadsheet like this, or have certain checklists, that's going to work. And then on site, you notice, actually, shucks, I forgot something, or it doesn't really work that well later in my home office when I'm writing the report. And it's just because it's such an overwhelming amount of information in a CRA training that it's impossible to just straight off the bat know what kind of tools you need, where and how, so they all feed into each other seamlessly. Seeing them, it was just clear to me, those first couple of years of really frustration and a super high stress level, because any good CRO, I always say they're made out of glass. And what I mean by that is with all their tracking systems, like everything you do is visible to management, senior management. Everything, there's just immense pressure. And I've had the same training content at least three or four times in my career where they told me a clinical trial costs the sponsor between $500,000 and $2 million per day on a bigger trial. You don't want to be the cause of a delay there, do you, in this environment?
No way.
So it's super stressful. You know, after that conversation, again, that really just brought it home for me that there actually is real pain there and that it's unnecessary. That I basically held that information in my hands and just had to bake it into a course. And that only took me like a couple of months to then really put it into a course. But yeah, I offer that course now. It can be, you can find it at thecra.coach. .coach is a thing now, not just .com or whatever. And it's a one-day course. I literally teach you everything, provide all the templates that you need, ready for download. They're all shown in the course how to use them, how they all tie into each other. And they, which is very different from any other CRA training, they are not hard to understand. Those are all things that are easy to understand. And it's also about functionalities in Excel, for example, that nobody teaches you, that automate things for you. There's even really, and I'm really serious about that, a section about meditation and with an actual meditation technique that I first tested on at least 15 people. And every one of them said, yep, worked, and within 5 minutes, because that's also one of my favorite examples where I always say our brain is our tool as CRAs. And if you would look at somebody who's a butcher and he's cutting meat with the same blade all day long, you would be scratching your head why he doesn't sharpen that blade, because with a sharper blade, his work's a lot easier and more accurate. And it's the same thing with our brains. If you have a technique where you can meditate real quick and sharpen your brain, your main tool for work is going to be much more efficient and faster and use up less energy for you and be less exhausting at the end of the day. So it's not just the technical stuff. It's really a 360-degree complete course of what every CRA wishes they would have actually been taught. Of course you need to know ICH GCP. Of course you should do some simulations of source data verification that are tricky to see that you really sharpen your focus on stuff. But the things that you yourself, as the human being doing that job, need, those aren't taught in any CRA courses. And that's what that course does. And rolled that out about 6-7 years ago-ish, roughly. Offer a money-back guarantee. I That's my sales pitch. I always tell people, I'll teach you everything you need to know to be a stress-free top-performing CRA or your money back, no questions asked. And no CRA has ever asked for their money back.
You know what? This is so needed because a lot of the monitors, being a site that we get in here, are from large CRO companies. They're not as, we don't get the more high quality CRAs that are independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And they are overwhelmed, they are overworked, and they are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And they do come in like right off the plane. Just, you can just tell that they've got too many studies, too many sites, and there's high turnover with those bigger companies as well. So having a nice foundation to grow off of and not just leaning on your CRO company for the education program that they're giving you,
mm-hmm.
and going outside of that is, I think, is necessary, especially for these newbies.
Yeah.
They need support.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also just a general topic that even my course can't help with, is just a flaw in a lot of major CROs that I see. And I can only second what you just said, is they will just burden them with a workload that just becomes
impossible.
You know
why? It's because they're not valued.
Mm-hmm.
They're not valued. And it's like, okay, you can't handle it. That's no problem. We'll just put out an ad and the next new bachelor's degree person will love to take this opportunity.
Yeah, but that's so hard to find, CRAs that know what they're doing. Because they got to be a successful CRA. I always say there's so many things that you got to bring to the table. You know, you got to be able to connect with people, because you got to build relationships with all your sites, because when there's an interim analysis and there's queries and your project manager is breathing down your neck with seven sites where you need queries to be resolved today, you want to have a good relationship with each one of those sites to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, it's Daniel. I'm really, do you have like 5 minutes? Can we just walk through these real quick together?
Yep.
And know that if your site can, they're going to take that time for you,
right,
because you've built that relationship. On top of that, you got to know all just the technical stuff. You got to be somebody who's comfortable with databases, with office management stuff, with juggling emails.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of emails depending on your study and your distribution lists. Anything between 20 and 100 emails a day is absolutely normal. You got to be able to manage that. You got to be accurate. You got to have a certain amount of medical understanding. Talking about clinical research here, you got to be willing and able to travel. It's just such a potpourri mix of qualities that a good CRA needs to have, that, you know, it's not like there's millions of them. That's why I don't understand why the big CROs just tend to overload them with work, and then they're surprised why there's a turnover of 25% or CRAs switching companies every 2 to 3 years. And I've heard from CRAs, one of the reasons to switch is, first of all, you can break your neck, break your back trying to meet the metrics to get your 3% salary increase.
Oh, gosh, right.
Or you can just move on to another company and get 10 to 15% increase. That's
right.
An incentive.
Well, that is a horrible thing that's happening in the workforce alone, is that if you don't change your job within every 2 years, then you're actually undercutting yourself for pay.
Yeah.
And it's not how I grew up, being a millennial. It's not like you implant yourself somewhere and you stay.
Mm-hmm.
And this high turnover rate, unfortunately, when we see that in our resumes and the job applications that come in here, I don't take it. I overlook those people, unfortunately, because I need longevity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's
comparing
a small site to a large CRO, that's doesn't matter. They expect it.
And another point for the CRA, from the CRA's perspective, is talking about that workload and the burnout that comes with it. If you switch companies, you're going to go through another 1 to 2 months of training, no visits. It's like a vacation, you know?
Right.
So that's another reason why that happens so much, at least from CRAs that I've heard that from, you know, that have told me, get two months off of monitoring visits just by switching companies.
Well,
let's see if it
back
changes.
To the CRA.coach.
Yeah.
Your site, you are the program that you're currently running now.
Yeah.
Is there a future with that? What's changing? What's coming?
Yeah, actually, it's it's a great time right now to get in and get yourself a course, because right now we're in the final processes of releasing version 2.0. Obviously, you know me being a contractor. I still learn a lot every day, talk to other CRAs. So there's been reason enough at this point to update the entire course to a version 2.0. Price is going to go up for version 2.0, but anybody who ever buys the course has lifelong access to the course, And with that comes access to any course updates. So yeah. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Now is the perfect time to grab the course at a cheaper price and just sail and surf on in into version 2 when it's released, because anybody who has access keeps access for a lifetime for any updates. And working on that together with some very good friends of mine over in Europe that are then also going to take over first European and then later global marketing of that course.
Well, it's fantastic.
I'm really happy to have some professionals on board that are also on fire for the course and listened to me and what it does, and were willing and able to invest not only time but also quite some money into what it takes to professionally market a course.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Love to have you back to expand on more of these interesting sites and maybe even some more interesting CRE stories for next time if you'd like to join.
Love to. Love to be back. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anna.